Hi. This is the Tao of Poo, part 4, I think. Okay. Coddleston Pie. Remember when Kanga and Roo came to the forest? Immediately, Rabbit decided that he didn't like them because they were different. Then he began thinking of a way to make them leave. Fortunately for everyone, the plan failed, as clever plans do, sooner or later. Cleverness, after all, has its limitations. Its mechanical judgments and clever remarks tend to prove inaccurate with passing time, because it doesn't look very deeply into things to begin with. As in Rabbit's case, it has to change its opinions later on because of what it didn't see when it was forming them. The thing that makes someone truly different, unique in fact, is something that cleverness cannot really understand. We will refer to that special something here as inner nature, since it's pretty much beyond the power of the intellect to measure or understand. We will have Pooh explain it to us, which he will do by way of the Coddleston Pie principle. Excuse me a moment. Yes, Pooh? Me explain it? Said Pooh behind his paw. Well, yes, I thought it might be nice. Why don't you explain it? Asked Pooh. Well, I thought it would be better if you did somehow. I don't think that's such a good idea, said Pooh. Why not? Because when I explain things, they get in the wrong places, he said. That's why. All right, I'll explain it, but you can help out every now and then. How does that sound? Much more like it, said Pooh. Let's see. The Coddleston Pie principle is based upon the song Coddleston Pie, which Pooh sang in Winnie the Pooh. Say, Pooh, maybe you'd better sing it again, in case anyone's forgotten. Certainly, said Pooh. Now, let me see. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie. A fly can't bird, but a bird can fly. Ask me a riddle, and I reply. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie. A fish can't whistle, and neither can I. Ask me a riddle, and I reply. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie. Why does a chicken? I don't know why. Ask me a riddle, and I reply. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie. Now let's start with... Ow! Oh yes, that was very nice, Pooh. Don't mention it. Let's start with the first part. A fly can't bird, but a bird can fly. Very simple. It's obvious, isn't it? And yet, you'd be surprised how many people violate this simple principle every day of their lives and try to fit square pegs into round holes, ignoring the clear reality that things are as they are. We will let a selection from the writings of Chuangzi illustrate. Hu Zi said to Chuangzi, I have a large tree which no carpenter can cut into lumber. Its branches and trunk are crooked and tough, covered with bumps and depressions. No builder would turn his head to look at it. Your teachings are the same, useless, without value. Therefore, no one pays attention to them. As you know, Chuangzi replied, a cat is very skilled at capturing its prey. Crouching low, it can leap in any direction, pursuing whatever it is after. But when its attention is focused on such things, it can easily be caught with a net. On the other hand, a huge yak is not easily caught or overcome. It stands like a stone or a cloud in the sky, but for all its strength, it cannot catch a mouse. You complain that your tree is not valuable as lumber, but you could make use of the shade it provides, rest under its sheltering branches, and stroll beneath it, admiring its character and appearance. Since it would not be endangered by an axe, what could threaten its existence? It is useless to you only because you do not want to make it into something else and do not use it in its proper way. In other words, everything has its own place and function. That applies to people, although many don't seem to realize it, stuck as they are in the wrong job, the wrong marriage, or the wrong house. When you know and respect your own inner nature, you know where you belong. You also know where you don't belong. One man's food is often another man's poison, and what is glamorous and exciting to some can be a dangerous trap to others. An incident in the life of Chuangzi can serve as an example. While sitting on the banks of the Pu River, Chuangzi was approached by two representatives of the Prince of Chu, who offered him a position at court. Chuangzi watched the water flowing by as if he had not heard. Finally, he remarked, "I am told that the prince has a sacred tortoise, over 2,000 years old, which is kept in a box, wrapped in silk and brocade." "That is true," the officials replied. "If the tortoise had been given a choice," Chuangzi continued, "which do you think he would have liked better, to have been alive in the mud or dead within the palace?" "To have been alive in the mud, of course," the men answered. "I too prefer the mud," said Chuangzi. "Goodbye." "I like mud too," said Pu. "Yes, well, anyway, on a hot summer day, nothing like it," he said. "But the point is, it keeps you cool," he said. "That's not important here, Pooh," I said. "It's not?" he asked in a shocked sort of way. "I mean, there are other things to be..." "How do you know?" said Pooh. "Have you ever tried it?" "No, but..." "Just the thing for a hot summer day," he continued, leaning back and closing his eyes. "Down by the river, covered with mud." "Look, Pooh." "Mud's nice," said Piglet, walking over to the writing table and looking up at us. "It adds color to your skin." "Can't say I ever cared for it," said Owl, flying over and perching on the lamp. "It sticks in one's feathers. Rather disagreeable." "You see," I said, "everyone's different. That's what we were discussing." "I thought we were talking about mud," said Piglet. "So did I," said Pooh. "Well, I must get back to my encyclopedia," said Owl. And now, if we can, let's go on to the second part. A fish can't whistle, and neither can I. Coming from a wise mind, such a statement would mean, I have certain limitations and I know what they are. Such a mind would act accordingly. There's nothing wrong with not being able to whistle, especially if you're a fish. But there can be lots of things wrong with blindly trying to do what you aren't designed for. Fish don't live in trees, and birds don't spend too much time underwater if they can help it. Unfortunately, some people, who always seem to think they're smarter than fish and birds somehow, aren't so wise, and end up causing big trouble for themselves and others. That doesn't mean that we need to stop changing and improving. It just means that we need to recognize what's there. If you face the fact that you have weak muscles, say, then you can do the right things and eventually become strong. But if you ignore what's there and try to lift someone's car out of a ditch, what sort of condition will you be in after a while? And even then, if you have more muscle than anyone alive, you still can't push over a freight train. The wise know their limitations. The foolish do not. To demonstrate what we mean, we can think of no one better than Tigger, who doesn't know his limitations. Oh, excuse me. He says he does now. Well, let's recall how he was forced to recognize one of them, anyway. Roo and Tigger were walking through the forest one morning, and Tigger was talking about all the things that Tiggers can do. Can they fly? Asked Roo. Yes, said Tigger. They're very good flyers, Tiggers are. Stornery good flyers. Ooh, said Roo. Can they fly as well as Owl? Yes, said Tigger. Only they don't want to. Well, after this sort of talk had gone on for a while, they arrived at the 6 pine trees. I can swim, said Roo. I fell into the river and I swimmed. Can Tigger swim? Of course they can. Tiggers can do everything. Can they climb trees better than Pooh? Asked Roo, stopping under the tallest pine tree and looking up at it. Climbing trees is what they do best, said Tigger, much better than Pooh's. And the next thing they knew, they were stuck in the tallest pine tree. Well, well, not so good. But then Pooh and Piglet came along, and of course Pooh realized right away just what was happening. Well, not right away. It's a jagular, he said. What do jagulars do? Asked Piglet, hoping that they wouldn't. They hide in the branches of trees and drop down on you as you go underneath, said Pooh. Christopher Robin told me. Perhaps we better hadn't go underneath, Pooh, in case he dropped and hurt himself. They don't hurt themselves, said Pooh. They're such very good droppers. Piglet still felt that to be underneath a very good dropper would be a mistake, and he was just going to hurry back for something which he had forgotten when the jagular called out to them. Help, help, it called. That's what jagulars do, said Pooh, much interested. They call, help, help, and then when you look up, they drop on you. But eventually, Christopher Robin and Eeyore came along, and a rescue net was formed. Then Roo jumped and was saved, and Tigger jumped, sort of, and was saved, sort of. There was a crash and a tearing noise and a confused heap of everybody on the ground. Christopher Robin and Pooh and Piglet picked themselves up first, and then they picked Tigger up, and underneath everybody else was Eeyore. Quite a bit of trouble you put everyone through, wasn't it, Tigger? I learned from the experience, though, he said, a bit evasively. Oh, did you? Of course, you won't find me doing anything like that again, he said, in a confident sort of way. That's good, I said. On your way to somewhere, are you? Yes, he said. Roo and I are going swimming. Oh, well, don't forget to take a rope. A rope? Why a rope? Said Tigger. Oh, just in case you see somebody fall in, I said. Now why didn't I think of that? Said Tigger. A saying from the area of Chinese medicine would be appropriate to mention here. One disease, long life. No disease, short life. In other words, those who know what's wrong with them and take care of themselves accordingly will tend to live a lot longer than those who consider themselves perfectly healthy and neglect their weaknesses. So, in that sense at least, a weakness of some sort can do you a big favor, if you acknowledge that it's there. The same goes for one's limitations, whether Tiggers know it or not, and Tiggers usually don't. That's the trouble with Tiggers, you know. They can do everything. Very unhealthy. Once you face and understand your limitations, you can work with them instead of having them work against you and get in your way, which is what they do when you ignore them, whether you realize it or not. And then you will find that, in many cases, your limitations can be your strengths. For example, when Owl's house fell down, who was able to escape, even though there was a heavy branch across the door, and the only way out was through the letter slot? Piglet, the very small animal. Now, the last part of the principle, why does a chicken, I don't know why. Why does a chicken do what it does? You don't know? Neither do we. Neither does anyone else. Science likes to strut around and act smart by putting its labels on everything. But if you look at them closely, you'll see that they don't really say much. Genes? DNA? Just scratching the surface. Instinct? You know what that means. Curious, why do birds fly south for the winter? Science. Instinct. It means we don't know. The important thing is, we don't really need to know. We don't need to imitate nearsighted science, which peers at the world through an electron microscope, looking for answers it will never find, and coming up with more questions instead. We don't need to play abstract philosopher, asking unnecessary questions and coming up with meaningless answers. What we need to do is recognize inner nature and work with the things as they are. When we don't, we get into trouble. Pooh and Piglet found this out when they tried to catch a heffalump. Not really knowing what heffalumps like to eat, Piglet assumed that they would be attracted by acorns, and Pooh thought, but first, you remember what a heffalump is, don't you? One day, when Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh and Piglet were all talking together, Christopher Robin finished the mouthful he was eating and said carelessly, I saw a heffalump today, Piglet. What was it doing? Asked Piglet. Just lumping along, said Christopher Robin. I don't think it saw me. I saw one once, said Piglet. At least, I think I did, he said. Only perhaps it wasn't. So did I, said Pooh, wondering what a heffalump was like. You don't often see them, said Christopher Robin carelessly. Not now, said Piglet. Not at this time of year, said Pooh. That's what a heffalump is. So Pooh and Piglet decided to capture one. The plan started out well. Pooh's first idea was that they should dig a very deep pit, and then the heffalump would come along and fall into the pit and... Why? Said Piglet. Why what? Said Pooh. Why would he fall in? Pooh rubbed his nose with his paw and said that the heffalump might be walking along, humming a little song and looking up at the sky, wondering if it would rain, and so he wouldn't see the very deep pit until he was halfway down, when it would be too late. Piglet said that this was a very good trap, but supposing it were raining already? Pooh ripped his nose and said that he hadn't thought of that, and then he brightened up and said that if it were raining already, the heffalump would be looking at the sky, wondering if it would clear up, and so he wouldn't see the very deep pit until he was halfway down, when it would be too late. Piglet said that now this point had been explained, he thought it was a very cunning trap. Pooh was very proud when he heard this, and he felt that the heffalump was as good as caught already. But there was just one other thing which had to be thought about, and it was, where should they dig the very deep pit? Piglet said that the best place would be somewhere where a heffalump was, just before he fell into it, only about a foot further on. But then he would see us digging it, said Pooh. Not if he was looking at the sky. It sounds easy, doesn't it? Let's see. First you dig a hole, making sure that it's big enough for a heffalump. And the best way to make sure that the heffalump gets into the trap you've made is to put something heffalumps like into it, such as a bag of peanuts or honey, said Pooh. Honey? A jar of honey, said Pooh. Are you sure? A big jar of honey, Pooh insisted. Whoever heard of heffalumps liking honey? Sticky, gooey, how would they ever... The best thing, said Pooh. All right, honey. You put the honey in the trap, and before you know it, you've caught a... Something went wrong. That's not a heffalump, but what is it? Maybe Piglet will find out when he goes to see what's in the trap. Help, help, cried Piglet. It's a heffalump, a horrible heffalump. And he scampered off as hard as he could, still crying out, help, help, a horrible hoffalump, hoff, hoff, a hellable horrelump, ho, ho, a hoffable hellerump. And he didn't stop crying and scampering until he got to Christopher Robin's house. Whatever's the matter, Piglet, said Christopher Robin, who was just getting up. Heff, said Piglet, breathing so hard that he could hardly speak. A heffalump. Where? Up there, said Piglet, waving his paw. What did it look like? Like, it had the biggest head you ever saw, Christopher Robin. A great big, enormous thing, like nothing. A huge big, well, like a, I don't know, like an enormous big nothing. Like a jar. So the honey wasn't such a good thing to use, after all. We didn't think that it really matched the nature of heffalumps, somehow. Now that we know the principle, we can... Oh, it's you, Pooh. Muffle waffle, Cuddleston pie, muffle waffle. I beg your pardon. Tell them about Cuddleston pie, what it means, Pooh whispered, a little more clearly. I just did, I said. I mean, tell them what it stands for, said Pooh expectantly. Oh, of course. Thank you, Pooh. Pooh wants us to know that the words Cuddleston pie are a way of saying inner nature. So, by substituting that term for the last line in each verse of the song, we get, ask me a riddle and I reply, inner nature. Cuddleston pie sounds better, said Pooh. Well, how about this, Pooh? Ask me a riddle and I reply, things are as they are. Better, but it still doesn't rhyme. All right, how's this? Ask me a riddle and I reply, Cuddleston, Cuddleston, Cuddleston pie. Just right, said Pooh. Now that we know the principle, we can look at its applications. As we have likely recognized by now, no two snowflakes, trees, or animals are alike. No two people are the same either. Everything has its own inner nature. Unlike other forms of life, though, people are easily led away from what's right for them because people have brain, and brain can be fooled. Inner nature, when relied on, cannot be fooled. But many people do not look at it or listen to it, and consequently do not understand themselves very much. Having little understanding of themselves, they have little respect for themselves and are therefore easily influenced by others. But, rather than be carried along by circumstances and manipulated by those who can see the weaknesses and behavior tendencies that we ignore, we can work with our own characteristics and be in control of our own lives. The way of self-reliance starts with recognizing who we are, what we've got to work with, and what works best for us. How would you explain it, Pooh? With a song, he said, a little something I just made up. Go ahead. Certainly. How can you get very far if you don't know who you are? How can you do what you ought if you don't know what you've got? And if you don't know which to do of all the things in front of you, then what you'll have when you are through is just a mess without a clue of all the best that can come true if you know what and which and who. That's it, he said, leaning back and closing his eyes. A masterpiece. Well, better than average, maybe. Sooner or later, we are bound to discover some things about ourselves that we don't like. But once we see they're there, we can decide what we want to do with them. Do we want to get rid of them completely? Change them into other things? Or use them in beneficial ways? The last two approaches are often especially useful, since they avoid head-on conflict and therefore minimize struggle. Also, they allow those transformed characteristics to be added to the list of things we have that helps us out. In a similar manner, instead of struggling to erase what are referred to as negative emotions, we can learn to use them in positive ways. We could describe the principle like this. While pounding on the piano keys may produce noise, removing them doesn't exactly further the creation of music. The principles of music and living aren't all that different, we think. Wouldn't you say, Pooh? Say what? Asked Pooh, opening his eyes. Music and living. The same thing, said Pooh. That's what we thought. So rather than work against ourselves, all we need to do in many cases is to point our weaknesses or unpleasant tendencies in a different direction than we have been. The following incident... excuse me. The following incident recorded by the Taoist Liu An can serve to illustrate. In the state of Chu, a housebreaker became a soldier under the general Zhu Va, a man known for utilizing the abilities of others to a remarkable degree. A short while later, Chu was attacked by the army of the state of Qi. Zhu Va's men went out to counter the attack, but were driven back three times. The Chu strategists exhausted their minds while the enemy forces grew stronger. Excuse me. At that point, the housebreaker stepped forward and asked for a chance to work for the defense of Chu. The general granted his request. That night, the housebreaker sneaked into the Qi camp, entered the general's tent, and removed the curtains from the bed. Zhu Fa sent these back the next morning by special envoy, a note which explained that they had been found by some men who were out gathering firewood. The following evening, the housebreaker removed the Qi general's pillow. The next morning, it was returned with a message like that. On the third night, the housebreaker removed the general's jade hairpin. It was returned the next morning. That day, the Qi general called his officers together. One more night, he warned them, and it will be my head. The troops were ordered to break camp and return home. So there is no such thing as an ability that is too useless, too crooked, or too small. It only depends on what you do with it. As Lao Tzu pointed out, the bad can be raw material for the good. So, quite often, the easiest way to get rid of a minus is to change it into a plus. Sometimes you will find that characteristics you try hard to eliminate eventually come back anyway. But if you do the right things, they will come back in the right ways. And sometimes those very tendencies that you dislike the most can show up in the right way at the right time to save your life somehow. If that's ever happened to you, you'll think twice before setting out to completely unbounce yourself. What do we mean by unbounce yourself? Well, you remember the situation with Tigger. "How did you fall in, Eeyore?" asked Rabbit, as he dried him with Piglet's handkerchief. "I didn't," said Eeyore. "But how?" "I was bounced," said Eeyore. "Ooh," said Roo excitedly. "Did somebody push you?" "Somebody bounced me. I was just thinking by the side of the river, thinking, if any of you know what that means, when I received a loud bounce." "Oh, Eeyore," said everybody. "Are you sure you didn't slip?" asked Rabbit wisely. "Of course I slipped. If you're standing on the slippery bank of a river and somebody bounces you loudly from behind, you slip. What did you think I did?" "But who did it?" asked Roo. Eeyore didn't answer. "I expect it was Tigger," said Piglet nervously. "But Eeyore," said Pooh, "was it a joke or an accident? I mean..." "I didn't stop to ask, Pooh. Even at the very bottom of the river, I didn't stop to say to myself, is this a hearty joke, or is it the merest accident? I just floated to the surface and said to myself, it's wet, if you know what I mean." So, to remove the bounce from Tigger, Rabbit came up with another one of his famous plans. Rabbit, Pooh, and Piglet would take Tigger to someplace at the top of the forest where he'd never been and lose him there. And from then on, he would be a small and sorry Tigger who bounced no more. Well, so much for cleverness, as Eeyore might say, because as things turned out, Rabbit got everyone lost, including himself. Everyone but Tigger, that is. Tiggers don't get lost, it so happens, not even in the mist at the top of the forest, and that proved to be very useful. Because although Pooh and Piglet found their way back after a while, "Where's Rabbit?" "I don't know," said Pooh. "Oh, well, I expect Tigger will find him. He's sort of looking for you all." "Well," said Pooh, "I've got to go home for something, and so is Piglet, because we haven't had it yet, and..." "I'll come and watch you," said Christopher Robin. So he went home with Pooh and watched him for quite a long time. And all the time he was watching, Tigger was tearing around the forest, making loud yapping noises for Rabbit. And at last, a very small and sorry rabbit heard him. And the small and sorry rabbit rushed through the mist at the noise, and it suddenly turned into Tigger, a friendly Tigger, a grand Tigger, a large and helpful Tigger, a Tigger who bounced, if he bounced at all, in just the beautiful way a Tigger ought to bounce. "Oh, Tigger, I am glad to see you," cried Rabbit. In the story of the Ugly Duckling, when did the ugly duckling stop feeling ugly? When he realized he was a swan. Each of us has something special, a swan of some sort, hidden inside somewhere. But until we recognize that it's there, what can we do but splash around treading water? The wise are who they are. They work with what they've got and do what they can do. There are things about ourselves that we need to get rid of. There are things we need to change. But at the same time, we do not need to be too desperate, too ruthless, too combative. Along the way to usefulness and happiness, many of those things will change themselves, and the others can be worked on as we go. The first thing we need to do is recognize and trust our own inner nature and not lose sight of it. For within the ugly duckling is the swan. Inside the bouncy tigger is the rescuer who knows the way. And in each of us is something special and that we need to keep. For a long time they looked at the river beneath them, saying nothing. And the river said nothing too, for it felt very quiet and peaceful on this summer afternoon. "Tigger is all right, really," said Piglet lazily. "Of course he is," said Christopher Robin. "Everybody is, really," said Pooh. "That's what I think," said Pooh. "But I don't suppose I'm right," he said. "Of course you are," said Christopher Robin. Good night.